Hello there, this is Shaladio. You're welcome to another edition of Random Gist. The title of this Random Gist is Keep That Ex-Partner Warm. I'll explain to you the reason for this title, and then I'll go into the gist itself. Now, what does it mean to, you know, to keep somebody warm? It's just a metaphorical expression that I borrowed from the HR people. I'll explain how I came about that term, to keep somebody warm. Now, some years ago, I used to work for an American investment bank, and I was sat across this manager who didn't actually manage me. I was being managed remotely from New York, but this manager sat opposite me in London, and he needed to hire a technical resource for his team. And he didn't know much about that technology that he needed a resource for. So what we did was we constituted a team made up of myself, a technical, and another technical resource who also knew that technology fairly well, along with an HR person. So there were three of us who had to interview candidates for that role. And we saw quite a few people, and we saw this very strong candidate. This guy was really very strong. We really liked him. He ticked all the boxes. And, I mean, we were almost just, myself and the other technical guy, were almost going to rush to say that, let's just hire this guy and forget about the remaining one or two people coming. And the HR guy said, no, we don't operate that way. Now, what we're going to do is that, yes, we like this guy, but we're going to keep him warm. So I asked the guy, I said, what do you mean by keep the guy warm? And he said to me, he said, what we do is that we ring up his agency and tell his agency that he's really nice, he's very strong, it's likely we're going to get him in for the job. So we'll give him a lot of hope. But in the meantime, we will wait to see the remaining two people on our list, just in case one of these two people happens to be better than him. And if at the end of the day, we don't settle for him, then we break the sad news to his agency that, well, sorry, we couldn't take him. But in the meantime, let's keep him warm. So keep him warm was that, you know, let's give him hope that everything is okay. But meanwhile, we're still doing our investigations and, you know, we're still, you know, carrying on with our work in the background. So that's what it means to keep somebody warm, which means that you don't give an impression of fight. You don't give an impression of fight. You don't give an impression of malice. You don't offend people. And you have your values. You have your standards. You keep your values. You keep your standards. But yet, at the same time, you don't offend people. You don't tick people off. You don't make people mad at you. So that's exactly what I'm talking about here. That is what it means to keep the person warm. I'm not saying that you're going to violate your principles. I'm not saying that you're going to allow the person to cross your boundaries, but you don't also want to offend such people. And I'm going to explain that to you after I've read these two scriptures. So I believe we got the message correctly, which is that we're not saying that you're going to cross your boundaries with people from your past, but we're saying that there are things that you can possibly do to offend these people and to cause unnecessary problems for you in your present. People from your past can cause trouble for you in your present or your future. So it's very important to know how to handle these people correctly, because that goes a long way in determining how things will work out. And I'm going to go through some examples for you to see exactly what I am talking about here. Now, let's go read some scriptures so we can have some scriptural basis for this. Proverbs 29:11, it says, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. And the Message translation of that scripture, Proverbs 29:11, says that a fool lets it all hang out, a sage quietly mulls it over. Now, I saw something on Twitter a few days ago which says that the best relationship is the one that both of us can talk about anything and everything, and we just be talking like that. Hello, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way, and I'll tell you why it doesn't work that way. You see, many times when relationships fail, what people do is that when things no longer work out, They go out there and they use information that you have entrusted with them in the days of love and everything, and they use that information to fight you in the open. So that's why it's very important that you don't utter everything in the midst of passion and everything. When you are sowing your wild oats, you don't utter everything. Okay? He says a wise man keeps it in till afterwards. What it means is that he's not saying that you are secretive. What it means is that there are levels of trust. So as you fulfill this level of trust, then you can have a little more information from me. Then the next level of trust, you can have a little more information from me. But you don't just say everything, you know, on the same day. We've been through that in social engineering, so I think you understand what I'm talking about here. Now, the other scripture is Proverbs 18:19 in Living Bible Translations, which says that it is harder to win back the friendship of an offended brother than to capture a fortified city. His anger shuts you out like iron bars. Now, what it means there is that there are some people today that you don't want to offend. And let me tell you who those people are. They are people from your past. They are people that you did stuff together with that you are no longer practicing in your today. There are people that you worked with in your flesh. There are people that you did things that we shouldn't know about in the days of your flesh. But now these are the days of the spirit. You are now a married person, but these people are looming on the streets and they are from your past, and they are holding information and stuff about you that if it comes out in the open, it can severely affect your reputation now that you are in the spirit. I'll give you an example, and it's a real life example. Now, what happened was that there was this guy, I mean, he's just a normal dude, sowing his wild oats in the days of his flesh when he was not even born again and all the rest with this girl. And then now he's married, now he's born again, now he's pastoring a church outside Nigeria. And then this girl just rings up out of the blue and from Nigeria to, you know, ask for money. Say, look, I have financial problems, send me money. And the guy was like, ah, look, I'm now married, I'm not into that sort of, you know, thing again. And the girl was not having any of that. That just send me money. And the guy had to explain that, look, you know what? The account that we have here is a joint account. So myself and my wife must sign before the money comes out. So how am I going to explain to my wife that it is you I'm signing money out to, especially when, how am I going to pull that off? It's not just possible. So you have to chill, you know. Maybe if you have to look for other means of solving this problem. But you see, the point at the end of the day, the guy did not release any money to her, and the woman, she was still offended and jumping and throwing tantrums. But at the end of the day, he didn't release any money to her. But at the same time, he did not talk roughly to her in such a way that will make the girl go out on the social networks and begin to say all sorts of stuff. Because let me tell you something, if the girl only needed to go to the social networks and say and just lie about the timelines. Now, this could be stuff that happened 10 years ago. Maybe she, you know, did some blowjob for the guy 10 years ago. But now, if she lies about the timeline and says that it was only last year, when we know that the guy has been pastoring for the last 4 years, then there is trouble in town. Then, before people get to find out what the truth is, everybody has already marked the guy. Some people would have left, you know, everybody will say everything that they like. And, you know, it's just one rumor that you need. All the bloggers will be on his case. Everybody will write him off, you know, and everything will just be a big mess. So that's what I'm talking about, that there is a way in which you can behave around these people that can spare you a lot of problems. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Let me give you another example of what I'm talking about. There was a lady somewhere, she schooled in Nigeria, and what had happened was she schooled in Nigeria many years ago. You're even talking of like over 30 years ago, and just like 10 years ago in the UK, she attended a party with her husband. She attended a party with her husband, a birthday party of one of their friends, and they got there, and there was this guy that they bumped into at the party, and it happened that while she was still a teenager, she had a short fling with this guy, and these are places where people are drinking beer and all the rest. These guys are not born again, you know. So, and you know, when people drink beer, they begin to say all sorts of things that are not right, begin to reveal all sorts of things that people should not talk about. So it emerged that before they left that party, this guy who had been with her when she was just a teenager had now begun to reveal it to the people that they were drinking beer together with. And before they left, the information got back to her, and she was now forced to hold a conversation with her husband. Can you imagine? With that, they have grown up children, now have to hold a conversation with her husband and reveal the fact that she had actually had been with this guy when she was just a teenager. That's exactly what I'm talking about. So someone came out of the past to create problem and to create hurt, havoc and damage in the present. So that's exactly what I'm talking about. So, and you see, it's not enough to say God has forgiven you about something. God forgives. Men hardly forgive, and even when men forgive, they don't forget. You understand what I'm talking about? So there is a way in which you handle some of these things. If it is just between you and God alone, trust me, God has forgiven you by the blood of Jesus. But there is also a way in which you need to handle characters and people that were involved in some of these things. And that's why I share that scripture where the Bible says it is harder to win back the friendship of an offended brother than to capture a fortified city. So that's exactly what I'm talking about, that you are going to walk the thin ground of diplomacy where you hold on to your values, you hold on to your godly lifestyle, and yet at the same time you do not invoke the wrath of people who have shared intimacy with you in the past to the point of them crippling your present and your future. What about a situation where they want to such people might even crop up and try to blackmail you? Tough. If you don't do this, I will tell your wife. Let me tell you what to do. Just go straight to your wife and make sure there's no sharp object around, and just tell your wife exactly what happened and remove the stink from that blackmail. That is all you have to do. But that's only if it ever comes to that. But if it doesn't come to that, make sure you are not offending people. Make sure you are not annoying people. In fact, divorced people, they know a lot about this. One rich man in America, he said that, look, I don't offend my ex-wives, simply because if they start wahala, if they start war, I will not be able to do my business very peacefully. Because what they will now do, they will just be going to court every now and then. They say the money, they want money for child, they want money for this, they want money for that. And the lawyers will now be hunting after your companies and be checking your income and be causing all sorts of trouble for you. So what the man said is that we don't go to court. Once they come and they are throwing their tantrums, I just calm them down, say okay, but sorry, so what do you want? And just say let's just reach an agreement here. You make a concession there, me make a concession here, so the man can sleep well. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Now, there are times where you need to stand up to these people and be firm, but situations where these people are just sitting where they are, just leave them alone. Let sleeping dogs lie. Don't go and offend people, because the Bible says that a brother that you offend is harder to win back than capturing a fortified city. It means that when you offend these people, when you step on their toes, they can cause problem for you. And it's not only in boy-girl relationship you are talking about. This also happens in business. You've doing business with somebody, you've been doing dodgy dealings. It even happens in ministry. There was a case of one junior pastor who left the ministry, and what happened was that his senior pastor used to send him on dodgy errands. So they had dodgy things that they did together, and because they fell out and they were offended with themselves, the senior one said that, look, I'm going to get the police to come after you and deal with you. And the junior one too said, oh, get the police, come. And me too, I you remember those errands you sent me? I have the dossier. So we will publish everything and wreck ourselves. So at the end of the day, they had to allow sanity to prevail and everybody went to sit down somewhere. So that's the point I'm making, that when you offend people like that, it can turn out into a big mess that none of you ever bargained for. So it's not only in just emotional relationships. It happens in the business world. It happens everywhere. In fact, some of these things can even happen innocently. Innocently in the sense, okay, let me give you another example of this one. Is not that people even went to commit sin, but innocently. Okay, let me paint a scenario for you. Somebody helped you when you were in school, maybe, you know, when you didn't have a lot of money. Somebody helped you out, you know, just helped you and, you know, just, you know, assisted you. And now let's turn the tables around. 20 years later, 10 years later, that same person that helped you in the days of your hunger now requires a help from you that involves you compromising your standing. God, what are you going to do? How are you going to, I mean, if it was just somebody that walked on the street, walked out of the street to come and place that sort of demand on you, you just give the person a very sharp no. No, I will not do it. Just forget it. But somebody that now comes out of your past and now reminds you that, remember when you were in, you know, a dilemma, I helped you, so now it is my turn, can't you help me? But now you face a situation where for you to render that sort of help, you are going to compromise your standing, God, you are going to compromise your journey to heaven. So what are you going to do? So what are you going to do? You have to, is your journey to heaven that matters most than any relationship on the earth. So it means that you have to safeguard your journey to heaven. You have to safeguard your sanctity. You have to safeguard your integrity. And yet at the same time, be able to diplomatically handle people around you in such a way that they don't cause offense and they don't cause trouble around you. That's exactly what I am talking about. Things that can get you into compromise, things that can get you into a sticky situation, those are the sort of things I'm talking about. That's why I came up with that thing, that just keep them warm. Just don't cause trouble. If they have to call you out of anywhere, don't just shout on them on the phone. Just talk nicely, but at the same time, make sure that your stand is kept. You are not drawn into any form of compromise against your belief system. And that is what I'm talking about. That you are not, you don't allow yourself to be. And let me tell you something. If even when you are a Christian, there are still people out there that can cause trouble for you. And I'll explain. Before you became a Christian, there was stuff that you did. You were all over the streets with these people, and these people can cause problems. I mean, there was one day I opened Twitter, and one girl was getting married in a church. And what did this guy do? This guy just posted a photograph, a wedding picture on that day on Twitter, and said, "I hit it first." Now, the issue is this. What this guy did was terrible. It was terrible, it was humiliating, it was bad, and he must have been offended. He must have been offended at something. That's why I'm saying that such people, if you have them in your past, you need to be able to preempt them. Probably, if I was a lady and I knew that I had such an idiotic character in my past, I probably will not have allowed that person to know where I was holding my wedding, for to the point where the guy can come with his camera and take a picture and put it on the social networks while I was still in church hearing the sermon of the pastor on my wedding day. Can you just imagine that? So I probably would have regulated the amount of people who came for my wedding, or just carry all my people to Dubai. And if I cannot afford Dubai, I'll carry them to Ikpetumodu or some village, you know, some village where you just cannot, you know, just come there on your own, you know, to come and disrupt my wedding. So that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. That you know you have some of these things in your past, it might rob you of some privileges that other people would have ordinarily exercised. Now, in the case of that lady, she should have restricted the attendance of her wedding, knowing fully well that there are four men or six men or how many men out there who can create trouble. That's exactly what I am talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about. That you don't, that once you know that such people are looming out there, you take steps. You take steps to avoid them. You take steps to counteract and preempt things, silly things that they could do, in addition to keeping them warm. So if the people, such people call on the phone, you know how to answer them. You just talk to them. You just talk nicely. But yet, as soon as they drop the phone, you know exactly what you are going to do. What I mean by keeping them warm, if they call, listen to them. Hear what they are going to say. Be warm to the point that they say everything that is on their mind. And as soon as you drop the phone, you go and execute your agenda clinically to ensure that they don't abort your present and your future. That's exactly what I am talking about. Keeping them warm does not mean that you go and sit down with them and practice evil with them simply because you don't want them to be angry with you. That's not what I'm talking about. Keeping them warm simply means that you are always nice, courteous, polite, but yet at the same time, you are streetwise. You get all the information that you need and you take preemptive measures to ensure that these people don't sting you. That is exactly what I am talking about keep that ex-partner warm. So you don't fight people, you don't get angry at them, you just keep them warm. Just that's how to keep them warm. Just you don't exercise any angry disposition towards them. You don't incite them to anger. That's exactly what I'm talking about keeping such people warm. That you keep them warm to the point that if people go and ask them without you being there, and they ask them about you, they will even testify about you that, oh, he's such a nice guy, he talks very nicely, yes, I have known him from the past, and they will not cause problem for you. But meanwhile, you have your boundaries well set inside your heart, and you are not going to grant them 1 inch of space to cause problem for you in your present and in your future. That is exactly what I am talking about. You know these people are in your past, so you must take steps. You must take steps to ensure that you are not creating problem, trouble, and offense that will cause these people to become a problem and a trouble to you in your present. That's exactly what I'm talking about. I believe we are clear about it. And you need to exercise wisdom here. You don't offend people. You make sure that you are cool. You are calculated. You listen to what they are saying, and immediately they drop the phone, you know exactly what you are going to do, what decisive and incisive steps that you are going to take to ensure that your future and your present are safeguarded from any evil attacks from people popping in from your past. You get it? That's exactly my message today about keeping those people warm. That's why some people, you are nice to them, and it's not because you really like them, seriously, or you really want to be with them. It's simply because they know too much about you. You are just cool, and you come across in such a way that they don't have any angry disposition about you to the point of wanting to cause problem for you out there. But also, let me just sound this note of caution that, look, if you have people out there who have stuff, you've done stuff with them, silly stuff that can cause problem, and they want to blackmail you, say, oh, I will tell your wife, or I will tell so and so person, just go straight to those people and tell them exactly, this is what has happened, this person wants to blackmail, this is what the person is going to tell you. If your wife knocks a chair on your head, just take it like that. It was your fault. You are the one who went to cause problem before. So just, receive the fruit of the seeds that you have sown, and then distinct out of those actions would have been taken out. That's exactly the message that I'm trying to pass across here. I'm not saying that you should become dodgy, you know, in order to cover up a dodgy past. What I'm saying is that you can behave in such a way that these people will not be a problem unto you at the moment, because now you are not practicing those things with them. You are now living a good life. You are now a Christian. You are now worshiping God. You are now serving God. But we know that those people can pop in from your past. You know, they know stuff about you in the past. Now you are now a man of reputation. One day one of them opens the TV and now sees you preaching the word of God with fire, you know, signs and wonders following, and the person just thinks that, this guy is a mega pastor, and look at me here, you know, look at me here, and I don't have money to spend, and just pick up the phone and start harassing your life. In fact, when such people call, they won't even call you Pastor Jack. They will just call you by your first name direct, Jack. So you know there's problem. Once such people call you by your first name, you know that is problem. So, once they just call you out of the blues like that, you know you have a problem. And you need to handle that diplomatically and wisely. And also, you need to handle it in such a way that such people do not repeat history with you and now cause problems for you in your current assignment. You get it? That is what I'm trying to talk about. That you just keep them warm. And that's how to keep them warm. You don't cause trouble, but yet at the same time, you don't compromise anything about yourself or about your stand in God. Your trip to heaven is far more valuable than what anybody is going to do with you, or what anybody is saying about you, or what anybody wants to get you to do. That is exactly my point. So keep them warm. That's the message, okay? So if you want to hook up with me, get in touch with me on my Twitter handle, Shola Adio, S-O-L-A-A-D-I-O. And also, I'm going to be doing 3 gists on the most likely titled errors of the past. How to deal with errors of the past. There are things you've done in your past when in the days of your flesh. Now you are in the spirit. How do you deal with them? What spiritual steps are you supposed to take to ensure that these things don't come to cripple your future? Satan is working through those things. Satan knows you are forgiven. Satan knows you have no problem with God. God has forgiven you, but your forgiveness that you have received from God does not necessarily and automatically prevent the fruit of the seeds that you have sown from germinating. So we're going to look on how to handle the effect of things that you have done in your past and stop them from aborting your glorious future and your glorious present in God. We're going to be looking at those things. I'll call them dealing with errors of the past. I'll probably split it out into 3 gists. Very important. I mean, let me give you scenarios that might interest you. A scenario could be something like, you're a lady, you had several boyfriends before in the past, you've had 3 abortions, now you want to marry. And now, the person you are going to marry, how are you going to do it? To tell the person that you have been involved in 3 abortions. The person doesn't know about it. How do you handle those kind of matters? Let me give you another scenario. One lady, she wasn't born again. She was on campus. And she, you know what she used to do? She used to steal clothes from the line, from the clothing line in the hall. She used to steal clothes when I was in Lagos. You know what happened? She got born again. She got saved. She got filled with the Holy Ghost, tongue talking, heaven bound, ticket stamp for heaven. God has forgiven her. And then, guess what? Do you know what happened? She now thought that, let me go and return all these clothes to where I took them from. So she packed all these clothes and she now went to return them. As she was returning them to the line, the owners of those clothes saw her returning those clothes to the line. They said, those are my clothes. They just captured the girl and they beat, don't be silly, out of her. She was begging them, telling them that she was now a Christian. She was now born again. She doesn't do such things again. She only just came to return the clothes to the line. They were not having none of that. They beat her until she was rescued by the Christians. So the debate now started that, okay, now that she's born again, now that she has repented, shouldn't we let her go? the people who were not Christians now said, no, we are not going to agree. Oh, we are taking her to the police station. She must go to jail. She must go to prison. How do you handle that? How do you handle that? There is stuff, serious stuff you've done in your past that can kill your reputation in the present, even though you are now saved, even though you are now born again, even though God has forgiven you. I mean, you see, God had forgiven her, but did God's forgiveness prevent people from beating Don't Be Silly out of her? No. So that's the sort of thing I'm talking about. How do you handle that? How do you handle that scenario? How do you prevent the handwriting of ordinances that Satan has written against you in the past from aborting your present and your future? That's exactly what I am talking about. That's what I'm going to be dealing with in that next set of 3 G's. Let me give you another scenario. There was this thing I read about in Lagos, on the networks. There was a lady, she was not born again, her husband was not born again, and what happened was that they had children, maybe about three or four children, and guess what? She started having an affair with her boss, and she got pregnant in the process, and then she quickly went to sleep with her husband as well, and then she had the child. So her husband believed that that boy was his fourth child with his wife, but that boy was not actually his child. That boy was the child of his wife and her boss. Now guess what? The child is now 10 years old. The lady got born again. She got saved. She got filled with the Holy Ghost. God has forgiven her. And guess what? She went to meet the husband to tell the husband that, sir, I just want to confess to you that this, our last born, is not actually your son. It is actually my boss that is the father of this, our last born, that you think is your son. Oh, la 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 la. You know what the guy did? The guy just went straight to the divorce court and said, you are out of my house. Now, the issue was this. People were begging this man to say, hey, now she has repented. Now she's born again. You know, just forgive her and carry on. You know, that sort of a thing. In fact, the man even loved the boy so much that he even, in the divorce court, he was even fighting to retain custody of all four children, but that woman must go. Do you understand what I'm talking about? The family members were begging, you know, pastor, everybody will say, ah, she's now born again, she's forgiving. The man said, what are you talking about? Which born again? Which forgive? You're all crazy. She is going. What are you talking about? Which born again? Okay, me, I'm not born again, but she must go. How can I accept this? Now, how do you handle such a thing? How do you prevent it from killing the present and the future? That's what I'm talking about. That's what we're going to be sharing in the next 3 gists. I mean, these 3 scenarios I've given you, I mean, you can't just say God has forgiven, and because God has forgiven, it's automatic that everything will sail smoothly. So why is the man taking her to court? Why isn't the man forgiving her? Why is he taking her to court? So you can't just be presumptuous and just think that because God has forgiven something, men also are forgiven. Men don't forgive like that. And this is how it works. Satan uses things that have been written against you in the past to try to finish your present and your future. And those are the things we'll be examining in the next 3 gists, which will be dealing with the errors of my past. Okay? So I'll speak with you guys later again. Hope you got something out of this. If you agree or disagree with this gist, just hit me up on Twitter. My handle once again is Soladio, SOLAADIO. Thank you very much. Love you. Bye.